It's my favorite time to say it's my favorite time when we talk to Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch, who is menching away, hopefully.
Well,
are you menching
whatever
away?
That means. But I must say I'm enjoying my mail. Got a lot of mail. And some of it is worth talking about. But first, let me just dismiss a couple letters because they're easy. I, first of all, love learning something new, and I learned from Kevin that red pack tomatoes are not grown in California, but in Indiana, of all places. So maybe I should go visit Indiana and the red pack fields of tomatoes. They're very good. They're sweet tomatoes. I mistakenly said they were from California. And Elizabeth wrote to me to say it is ramp season in Litchfield County. Have you foraged for your ramps yet?
I don't, because I once got involved with a bunch of people that were so excited about their ramps, and I ate them, and I was not impressed.
Well, I don't know. I
wasn't a rampette, but I smiled and I said, "This is the most."
I have only once foraged for ramps.
Yeah.
If I want ramps, I have to buy them at the farmer's market, and they cost too much. One, and two, they need a lot of washing, I gotta say. And after all that, I don't really want to muck them up with anything else. I mean, I learned from my Italian friends who have ramps in Italy. Yes, there are ramps in Italy. To just saute them. That's it. Just put them in a pan with either butter or oil. I'm an oil guy. And let them wilt in the oil. And if you want, they're delicious with scrambled eggs. You don't need much else. So those were easy. Now, however, I have two questions that sort of meld into each other. One was, this is the listener saying, you know, I can't find the letter, but so I'm sorry, listener. But he says, I gather from how you talk that you don't really go to restaurants much anymore, and then when you do, you're disappointed. And that is all true. However, this melds into the question from Steve in Narragansett, what dishes do I go out for? So here's the deal. I grew up in Brooklyn, Jewish. So on Sunday night, there's some bell that rings in my body that says you have to eat Chinese food. And don't laugh. Please, everybody, don't laugh. But my real comfort food is a good egg roll. And I now consider egg rolls a vegetable. So they are actually stuffed mainly with cabbage. So that is something I go out for, and it's something I'm not usually disappointed in because I basically go to two different Chinese restaurants in my neighborhood where I know what I want to eat, and they have a lot for me to choose from of things I like to eat there. And I also, we have a Chinatown nearby, so when I have the gumption to drive to the Chinatown and find a parking space, which is not always easy. There is a parking lot I know of. However, it's sometimes full. In any case, Chinese food is something that I do go out for. And what else do I go out for? There are things I don't cook at home that I would like to eat in a restaurant. For instance, I don't have an audience for salmon. If I did, I'd be cooking salmon pretty often because I love salmon. So I do eat salmon in a restaurant. If I can trust that the restaurant, and this is the important point here, I can trust that the restaurant is going to cook it the way I like to eat it, which is rare, or at least medium rare, not all the way opaque to the center. So nobody wants to cook it for me that way. I shouldn't say that, not nobody, but in a really fine restaurant, they'll do that for you. However, mostly they won't, or they can't, they don't know how. Or they say they will, but they don't. What else do I think it was Steve in Narragansett who said he likes duck, but he never cooks duck at home. And I do cook duck from every once in a while at home. Especially duck breasts are really, really easy to cook. No harder to cook, for instance, than a steak on top of the stove. And, you know, these days I'm not going out for steak as I used to because I do know how to cook a steak at home. And, yes, it is better in an 800-degree broiler in a steakhouse, but I can buy the same good meat. Anyway, back to duck. That is one of the things I love to eat. And, in fact, both of my neighborhood Chinese restaurants make good duck, including tea-smoked duck, which is really, really good from one of them. And that one also has really superior soup dumplings. I love them. And then they have a few things that nobody will eat but me, meaning I don't have any friends. Well, maybe one friend who will eat these things, like tripe and sliced, sort of chewy meat, but sliced thin, in chili sauce, cold dish, from the Sichuan restaurant. And then there's also from the Sichuan restaurant, besides the tripe and beef, there's hacked chicken in chili sauce, which I like, too. It's another cold dish. But you got to be willing to eat that around the bones. Now, Chinese people can manipulate their chopsticks well enough that you don't make a mess, but I'm not that good at it, so I use my fingers. Anyway, those are things that I go out to eat, that I'd go out to eat. So mainly, when we go out, we have other choices besides Asian. Here in Brooklyn, there are a lot of Mexican restaurants because we have a huge Mexican community. And we just went to one of my favorite Mexican restaurants. It's called Los Broncos, or maybe it's El Bronco, maybe one Bronco. In fact, I think it's one Bronco because there's a mural inside and only has one horse in it. So it's one Bronco, and it's on 4th Avenue and 44th Street in Sunset Park, which is, in fact, the neighborhood that is a little Puebla. Almost everybody in that neighborhood is from Puebla. And some of the restaurants are for themselves, like this one, and some of the restaurants are a little bit more open-minded, let's put it. I like this restaurant. It is the actual restaurant of a famous taco truck. It's the truck that parks on 5th Avenue and I think it's 34th Street across from Greenwood Cemetery, and it's a famous taco truck, just like in Mexico, I have to say. A lot of Mexicans go there, and they're all leaning against the fence, squatting like Mexicans can do, only Mexicans can do, and enjoying food that way. I don't enjoy eating on the street like that, so I rarely... Well, I've been to the truck a few times, but anyway, I don't do that. I like to sit in the restaurant and be served the same tacos, the same quality of tacos. The only taco that they didn't used to have, but they did the other day, is this birria. Now, birria has become like a cult thing, not just in Brooklyn, but I think all across the country. It's basically a beef stew, and they tuck the meat into tacos, soft corn tortilla tacos, and give you a bowl of the broth with pieces of meat in it. And the thing is, you dunk your taco with the meat in it into the broth. And it's a dunking experience. I like it. The other day when we went, they never had that on the menu, but the other day I walked in and I saw some guys sitting and eating it, and right away I knew what it was. And they said, yeah, it's a special today, so order it now while you can. Anyway, I go out for the Mexican food, Chinese food. I rarely go out for Italian food because that's more or less, but it's mostly what I cook at home. And I always like to say I wouldn't leave the house for a bowl of spaghetti. And I still wouldn't leave the house for a bowl of spaghetti. I will eat a bowl of spaghetti from time to time outside my house, but I don't leave the house with that intention, let's put it that way. Sadly, I got a note from, asking me if I knew where you could buy what we used to call cornbread, but it was not made of corn at all. It's a Jewish bread. It's a sour rye bread. And in its heyday, I guess it was my heyday too, it was a damp, really a sort of a damp, slightly sour bread. And you mainly ate it with what we call appetizing, smoked fish, pickled fish, dairy items like that. And in fact, you bought it very often in a store that sold those products, like Russ and Daughters, one of the last. Anyway, sadly, there is no more cornbread as far as I can tell. I stopped at Kopf's, K-O-F-F, apostrophe S, the other day. I mean, literally a week ago. And ran in, and they didn't even know what I was talking about. But that's the last place that I remember buying it. Now, my listener said she thought Ohrwasser's, which is a famous bakery from Manhattan, made it and sold it. But I haven't bought the Ohrwasser version in a long time. They used to, and they sell Ohrwasser bread around the corner from me in my fancy supermarket. They also used to have a Ohrwasher's counter at the Whole Foods in downtown Brooklyn. But I don't see the cornbread around anymore. Maybe like the cornbread itself, the audience for cornbread is dying off. It's possible. The people who have that taste. So back to restaurants being disappointed, it is a matter of taste. And I guess my standards are pretty high, as you can imagine. And I don't want to say people's standards today are lower, it's just they're different. And if you just watch food television from time to time, you'll see how sort of gross, by my standards, taste is these days. It's not enough to have a great hamburger with some maybe slice of onion and some ketchup, but you have to have about 18 other ingredients on the hamburger to make it worthwhile. And then, on the other hand, people are telling us to eat more healthy. So I don't know. It's really a problem. Eating out is a big problem, and it's so expensive. I mean, it's always been this way, that it's way cheaper to eat at home, even with the absolute best ingredients, than it is to eat in a restaurant. And what you're paying for is service. Somebody else is doing the dishes. But as my mother would tell you, not necessarily for better food. Basically, you could sit at a table like a lady and be served, and you could walk out in your high heels. So that was my mother's philosophy about this. And I, the older I get, the more I agree with her. I have less interest in restaurants than ever. But we are going to celebrate a big birthday next week. And we are going to celebrate by going to the River Cafe, where they have old standards, I have to say. What kind of food? Somebody asked me, what kind of food? I guess it's contemporary American food, but it's sort of unmistakably American. I already know pretty much what I'm going to eat. I mean, they have foie gras, either sauteed foie gras or a foie gras terrine. I do love that terrine. But so it's $200 a person without any beverage or tax or tip. So it adds up. However, you get the highest possible quality in perhaps the most romantic setting in all of New York City, not just in Brooklyn. I'm thrilled that it's in Brooklyn, but it consistently over the, 40-something years it's been in business, is always said to be one of the most beautiful restaurants. Buzzy O'Keefe, the owner, keeps the place absolutely filled to the gills with flowers, and you're looking out over the river and the skyline, so what could be bad? You were going to say something, Jill?
And you had a really good experience there also on Thanksgiving,
right?
Well,
I always have a good experience there, you know? And I talked about this around my birthday time. I went to a couple of my favorite places the week of my birthday, and I set out to eat something in particular at each one, and then when I got there, I decided, oh, you know, maybe I should do something different today. and it ended up a disaster. So I mean, I stick with what I'm going to stick with what I like. But at the River Cafe, truthfully, I've eaten through this menu entirely. And there's great venison dish. If I decide I have to have beef, there's a steak with, I think, it actually comes two things, a steak as well as some braised short rib. I mean, in a Buzzy O'Keefe restaurant, there's always sensational mashed potatoes. He loves his Irish heritage and his mashed potatoes. So, yeah, we're guaranteed a gorgeous place and also amazing service. You really feel like they're doing this all for you. And that's a hard thing to do. So anyway, we go to ethnic restaurants besides Mexican and Chinese and Thai. We have a very good Thai restaurant in the neighborhood. There's a fish and chips place downtown, soul food restaurant, actually. Not that, that's Cobble Hill. We like going there. We sit at the counter and schmooze with the owner's son. What else? You know, that kind of, we love our pastrami place in what is nowadays called Prospect Lefferts. It's Flatbush Avenue and I guess it's like Maple Street, Midwood Street, in North Flatbush, I would call it. It's just below the Prospect Park. And it's Mo's. Mo is for Mustafa and also for Muhammad. Papa, Mustafa, son, Muhammad, and then there are other sons who work at Mo's. And it's Mo's pastrami and hamburger, although I've never had a hamburger there. But we do eat just brisket there, and also the corned beef is very good. I'm not a corned beef guy, but I do love their Reuben. So that's, you know, there are a lot of little places like that. Oh, here's one we're going to go to this week. We just learned that there's a Hawaiian restaurant nearby, and Bob Harned is from Hawaii and has just written a book about his grandmother, who was a pioneer and actually master at coloring black and white photographs. She got her start in Hollywood. We are old enough, Jill and I, to remember when there were movie stills outside of movie theaters. And even if it was a black and white movie, they were colored in. Well, it was Bob's grandmother who did that. Eventually, she opened up photo shops in Honolulu, which is how Bob and his family ended up in Honolulu. The photo shops became famous. And she did some other amazing things. She was an amazing person. Anyway, Bob just wrote a book about her. Beautiful, beautiful, all-color coffee table type book. It's called Edith Butler, Edith with an E, Butler, B-E-U-T-L-E-R, Beautifying Hawaii with Color, something like that. Anyway, if you look on Amazon, you'll find it. In any case, Bob's going to do a little presentation in person at our club, and they're going to do a luau dinner. So we're going to go check out the luau dinner. So something like that I go out for. I'm not making a Hawaiian barbecue at home.
No, I just think that's almost as much work. It's more work than a seder.
Yeah, I would say. It's plus you need a hole in the ground,
which is
hard to get in Brooklyn. So I don't know. We're wondering what they're going to do. But you know, one of the things they say they make, which Bob is really looking for, forward to, is something called molisada, which is basically a fried donut, a stuffed donut. I think it's often stuffed with pastry cream. Like, I remember that from a kid. I don't know, in Buffalo, did you have jelly donuts as well as custard donuts? The jelly donut, you know, the jelly donut is not really a round hoop. It's a big puff. And either stuffed with jelly or stuffed with pastry cream. I was always a pastry cream guy. Anyway, here's something. Somebody wrote to me, Diane wrote to me, and asked me about the liqueur that I make with sour cherry leaves. Well, first you got to find somebody who will supply you with sour cherry leaves. and they are grown in the Hudson Valley. So they're around. When you find one, then you can make this liqueur called Vicciolino, which is actually based on red wine. So you take the cherry leaves and you infuse them with red wine, and after a few days you strain out the leaves. You're going to be amazed at how cherry aroma it is, even though you haven't put a cherry in there, just a leaf. And then you add sugar and alcohol. So first, I can give you proportions next week, but you got to find somebody who has the sour cherry leaves, and then my feeling is we are leafing out here in Brooklyn. It's going to be at least another 2 weeks before sour cherry leaves are viable for a liqueur, at least 2 weeks, maybe a month from now. So you have time to find somebody. To make the quantity that I make, which is with two bottles of red wine, and you need, I think it's 4 ounces. I'm giving you the proportions now, so I don't need to next week. 4 ounces of leaves, which I counted once, and it was like 200 leaves. Wash them. Put them in under two bottles of red wine. Let that sit for 2 or 3 days. Strain out the leaves. Add a half a cup of grain alcohol, which you can buy in your liquor store. Everclear is the brand that I usually use. And a half a cup of that, and then some sugar. I don't know. You have to decide. A half a cup, 3/4 of a cup of sugar. And you stir it all together until the sugar is dissolved. And then bottle it up and let it sit for, you know, the recipes all tell you to let it sit for a couple weeks. I've drunk it the next day, and it's delicious. So you decide. You can sip it every day until you decide, that's exactly what I want. And you can always, by the way, add extra sugar or extra alcohol. I don't think you'll need to, though. Okay, so keep the mail coming. A lot of it I'm answering, with the response through email. And if I don't get to your letter with email, I'm definitely getting to it on the air. I think I've covered a lot today. So keep mmiles@robinhoodradio.com.
Let's hope you get more mail. So, and as you say, mmiles@robinhoodradio.com.
That's it, everybody. Have a great week.
And you too. Thank you very much, Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch on Robin Hood Radio.